We're the Good Neighbor Network, FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna, audio and video streaming at WGNSradio.com. This is a WGNS Action Line, talking with Rutherford County newsmakers about what matters most to you. Now, your host, Bart Walker.
Well, top of the morning to you. Welcome in. It is a nippy morning. Fall is definitely in the air, but I'll have to admit it does feel good, and the skies are beautiful out there. We're going to be talking law and order, focusing on Murfreesboro, Tennessee this morning, and visiting with us, Murfreesboro Police Chief Michael Bowen. Hey, Michael, good morning to you.
Good morning, Bart.
Great to have you with us today. And you brought along Captain Clayton Williams. Clayton, good morning to you.
Good morning, Bart.
Good to have you with us today.
Hey, thanks for being here.
As you look at things that are going on with the Murfreesboro Police Department and the city of Murfreesboro, with the change in weather, and there definitely is a change because we've been hitting 80 degrees and even higher, and on certain days we might get into the upper 70s, but now it's cold outside. Does that have any impact on crime, the weather?
You know, used to, we talk about that, especially in the summertime, having an impact, but it just seems like we're pretty steady throughout the year. Of course, you have the fall, you bring in the shopping activity, so that always increases traffic around stores, things like that, and you just have a lot more activity as you get into the holiday season. So that definitely kind of refocuses our attention to watch those areas where there's high activity and just make sure that everybody can have a safe holiday season and get out and shop and do the things they want to do in a good environment.
Hey, how about the real-time crime center? Is that still helping as much as it had been? Because it seemed like every day there was some way that was jumping in and having a quick impact on crime. Has that continued? It's
absolutely.
Benefits.
Absolutely. It's still doing, they're doing real well. And I was talking to somebody the other day, the technology is wonderful and it helps in so many ways. But that technology without competent people behind the wheel driving it is useless. And we're just lucky that we have a very, very competent staff that knows how to get the best use out of that equipment and uses it effectively. I know we advertised for some new positions. We wanted to expand the hours of coverage. The way we run the center, not everybody at the department has access to the information, so it's a very limited number of people that have access to query the information. And, you know, that's taken into consideration people's privacy concerns. So what we did is we added the number of staff so we could have more hours of coverage. Four officers, so we're going into the nighttime hours now. Used to, an officer would have to call somebody who's at home to be able to access or get certain information. Now we've expanded that. It's a real popular job. We advertised, added four positions, I believe, and I can't tell you how, we got several hundred applications just for those positions. So it's a job field that people are interested in and get a lot of qualified applicants for.
So what period of time is the real-time crime center actually operational?
So now they're going to go into the evening hours, whereas they were typically just covering day shift hours, now you'll have those early morning hours where we have somebody on call that can access that information. So I'm talking like the 2, 3 o'clock in the morning, you would still have to call somebody, but that's something that can be easily accomplished and somebody can get into that system pretty quick and look up information if it's needed for a serious crime.
So the overnight hours are not covered? It looks like that would be
the early morning hours.
Early
the
morning.
The evening, late evening, those type hours will be covered.
Oh, okay. So, and I guess those are for things that the real-time crime center, like listening to gunshots and things of that sort, those would happen, what, 10, 11, 12, 1 o'clock in the morning?
Yeah, and when the gunshot detection technology goes off, you don't need an analyst there. That goes out directly to the officers and the dispatch, so there's no need for an analyst for that.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So that's something that's not necessary.
So the minute that happens, they get the triangular reports, and it says there is something believed at such, and gives you a specific location.
Right, right. And we had an event the other day, and Ryan Lawrence, who supervises our crime analyst unit, was still saying that on average, we're notified 50 to 60 seconds prior to any phone call coming in on shots fired incidents. So we're still getting about a minute advantage before people start calling in concerns about shots being fired, which is, in the world of emergency response, that's huge. That's a huge number. That extra minute can mean a lot as far as first aid to a victim, locating witnesses, locating suspects. So it's worked out very well so far.
So that recent shooting that happened in the downtown, in the suburbs off downtown, you had that information, I guess. You had the shots before anybody called.
Yeah, that was in the area of our ShotSpotter technology. Now, on that particular call, I don't know the specifics of that case as far as which came in, but that would have notified us if it was being triangulated by our system. Yeah, that would have notified us immediately.
And sometimes, this has been amazing. To me, it's been amazing anyway, that you sometimes never get the calls, but you are out there investigating shots fired, and nobody calls you.
Right.
That's got to be so, because probably the people involved are watching, wondering what all these police cars are here all of a sudden for.
Right.
That has to put a little concern in their minds.
Yeah. And a lot of times, you know, people might confuse it for especially late, early morning hours where people are home in bed. People might confuse it for fireworks, backfiring, things like that. So some people just don't call. Some people assume that somebody else is calling and don't call. So you run into all that. But at the end of the day, I think our placement of those devices, I just have to reemphasize, Murfreesboro, 60-something square miles. And those ShotSpotter or the gunshot detecting technology is only in about 5 square miles, and that's all based on historical data. So we go to the areas where we've seen the long-term crime trends, and we've placed them in those areas. It's new to us. We've only been running it for it's been over a year now, and we're just going to have to evaluate its effectiveness, and everything's pointing positive direction right now.
That is so exciting to see this happening, because 5 years ago we never would have dreamed of something like this being available, much less having it.
Yeah, absolutely. So you look at the police department. We moved into the new headquarters in 2018, and back then we started probably talking about it. We talked about new headquarters years before that, but the serious discussions 2014. Real-time crime center wasn't even on the radar. It wasn't, the technology wasn't there in a way that we could acquire it and use it at an affordable price point. So it evolves quickly, because now we're looking at ways to expand that operation inside our building, just give people more room to be able to work and utilize that technology. So things change quickly. And like I said, when we built that building, I had no idea that we would be operating a real-time crime center out of it, just because that technology wasn't there yet.
What is on the horizon? I mean, you must get trade publications that talk about things that are being discussed and worked on and invented at this time. Well, what's next after something like this? What comes along?
As you said, technology, the sprawl of people trying to jump into this market and find something that sticks, if you will, it's vast. I mean, we see things, anything from, if you watch the news, I know a lot of state, I think New York is doing a pilot program with a drone as first responder, where they actually have drones going out to assess a situation of a call before they get there. You have a lot of people now moving to more automated systems for non-emergency calls, whether to help us and farming some of that out. And a lot of these are for your major cities jump on a lot quicker, because obviously they have any issues of whether it be staffing or call volume is compounded for them just because of the sheer volume. But, you hear people talk about facial recognition. That's kind of been, luckily, I think most people kind of understand that everybody's not there yet, comfortable wise, even in a lot of your lawmakers, which have kind of curtailed some of that. But every day, like you said, there's a vendor coming out with something that says, "Hey, we've got this now." This is kind of neat. I was talking with our representative who provides our emergency lights on our cars, and one of the things that they're looking at adding is a feature where if you have, say, you're in your car and you've got your GPS on, use Waze or Apple Maps or Google Maps, if we have our emergency equipment on and we're somewhere in the vicinity approaching here, it'll notify you, like, "Hey, approaching emergency vehicle ahead," so to try to help you move. Bill,
cool.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, the things that they can do now with the integrations of what the technology and vehicles, but yeah, it's all over the place. We just have to make sure just like the chief was saying on this, all the stuff we have in real-time crime center, it was a very slow walk vetting process to make sure, you know, that number one, it was going to be what we needed to do, but number two, make sure that it was something that as a city and all leadership was okay with, and that we were comfortable going this direction, and it was be something that would be beneficial. And I think we started to see the results of that now, that payoff.
This thought about something, a warning in your car, mm-hmm. your own vehicle that says an emergency vehicle is approaching. Does it say from the rear, from the side, from the front?
I'm assuming if you've got the GPS. He didn't go into great detail. It's in beta phase right now. It's not something that's out. They're just working on it. They're hoping within the next 2 years to offer that to everybody. So I guess if it's with the map, it should know if it's behind or ahead. But I haven't seen it yet. He was just telling us. But the things that they come up with, I just think that's...
What a great service.
Yeah, exactly.
Because sometimes you don't hear it.
Oh,
and then you can see it sometimes.
Or sometimes you hear it and you're like, "I don't know where it's coming from."
Yeah, that's right. Where is it?
If it's bouncing off buildings and stuff. So, yeah, neat stuff like that coming along.
And this part about the drones, that I can see that as being a real plus. It gets your presence on the scene and you know what's happening before you get there.
Yeah, and they're wanting, I think their program, the one in New York, I want to say they were doing a year pilot, and it'll be interesting to see the data from that to see was it beneficial or not. Because it's... with everything comes a cost, and it's not cheap. And so, but like you said, if it's something that's serious enough where you can have eyes on, you know, to help you better direct your resources if it's needed or not, it'll be neat to watch those. I mean, we talk about this all the time, and I've seen it. You have to be careful. You never want to jump too fast on the early adopter of technology, because sometimes you can spend a lot of money and it not work out the way you want. So it's really nice that when we have the advantage of some of the folks going before us to kind of pilot all this stuff and make sure that it's the way to go before you jump on. So yeah,
we have a text here from a listener who go ahead.
I'm sorry, and I think Clayton kind of alluded to it. Then you have to look at regionally where you're at, how your legislator is going to react to the certain type of technology, mm-hmm. and know what the response is going to be before you start really looking into acquiring it, knowing, hey, where are the rules going to be for us when the stuff comes available.
We have a question from a listener here, and they're saying that they hope that some of the older technology doesn't go away also. They're wondering if there is a way to still get a video. Are there cameras around town that gets videos of vehicles, so that if they're involved in a wreck, there is some recording of how that accident occurred? Is there a way to get video on that? Or is there even video out there?
Well, potentially, yes.
Potentially.
And it had to come through a FOIA request. If there is an intersection that's being recorded, that would be these circumstances. But not every intersection is recorded, so it's one of those. It depends. You know, where is it at? Was there something operating there? Was it actually recording? And then you could potentially get access from that. I know we had some discussion about that several months ago.
Right, and that's a city initiated. That's their equipment, and we're in talks with that about. Obviously, real-time crime center, if there's camera, you know, having that helpful piece out there. But they may be talking about, too, I know historically when we had the red light cameras, a lot of times if there was a crash at the intersection, if they if the investigating officer could notify them quick enough, they could get that video. And they would oftentimes take that to court to prosecute. Now, the hit and runs, I don't know so much, but if there was an accident, and we don't have those anymore, so that I don't But yeah, there's talk with that with the city system about if that's possible.
Now, I can tell you as a department, if we're recording it and it's available. If we're preserving it, then it sure could be, unless a law prohibits it, it could be available through a FOIA request.
So if you had a hit and run, there is a chance that there is video available, or a car hits a pedestrian. You can see exactly what happened.
Right. And like I said, those are limited intersections. And where we've had most success with the hit and runs is through the LPR system, is getting a vehicle description in the LPR system and doing it that way, because that doesn't just come from information obtained at the intersection as that vehicle's moving. It if you have a description, you put it in, it tracks that vehicle, so we know that, hey, it was at this intersection, but now it's here, which is right, where we need to be. We need to be following it and finding out where it's going.
So if you're doing that, you have to have a witness, I guess, to give you the license plate number, otherwise you don't have it.
Right. You have to have a description. You have to have a description.
A license plate, a description,
something to put into the system to look for.
When you have a citizen giving you a description, do they usually get that detailed as far as license plate numbers? And or is it just a dark-colored car that has four doors going down the street?
Sometimes yes and sometimes no.
Yeah. It varies.
Yeah. We did have that one incident, and it involved I'm going to try and keep it as vague as possible. It involved a pedestrian and got a description of the vehicle. And
they left the scene.
Left the scene. We got to looking at it, and the description we got was couldn't be further. And luckily, we had one of our public safety camera systems right at that intersection. We were able to pull it up, and the description we received was nothing like the vehicle that was actually involved in the incident. So it just depends. I mean, you have these incidents, people are excited, they're under stress, and a lot of times we get accurate information, but sometimes it's great to have the technology in place to be able to confirm or eliminate people as suspects quickly.
Our phone number, 615-893-1450. Text us your questions. We will jump on those, and we'll be back to take some more of your questions. 615-893-1450. That is the text number. We're focusing today on law and order here in the heart of Tennessee. A lot of new ways to solve crimes.
FM 1019, FM 100.5, WGNSradio.com, the Good Neighbor Network.
Holden Hardware now has an e-commerce site. Go to doitbest.com/Holden. Hardware and shop all the items in our warehouse. You can have them shipped directly to you, or most items can be shipped for free to Holden Hardware for pickup. Shop with us in person or go online to doitbest.com/Holden-Hardware.
One more time.
doitbest.com/Holden-Hardware.
Local farmers, local meats, vegetables, and other produce at the Winter Spring Rutherford County Farmers Market.
Bundle up and make your way every Friday at Lane Agri Park.
The Recycled Minute with our own Rocky the Raccoon.
Don't bottle up your creativity. Reuse it.
Teachers, students, and eco heroes, stay-at-home moms, everybody, listen up.
You can create mini greenhouses for seedlings with water bottles.
The Recycled Minute. Here's Rocky.
You know how families go through those water bottles? They buy them by the caseload each month. Once you're finished drinking the water out of them, obviously recycle some of them, but save some of them, because you can slice off the bottom of them and then place it over a small plant. It'll then trap the warmth and moisture, help your garden grow while keeping plastic out of the landfill. That's just another idea for you. I'm Rocky the Raccoon with RecycleRatTN.com.
And that's today's Recycled Minute.
And I'm out of here.
With Rocky the Raccoon. Find the closest place to recycle near you by going to RecycleRatTN.com.
Together, we'll keep Tennessee beautiful.
Hi, Murfreesboro. This is Amanda from Animal City. We're at 919 Northwest Broad Street. If you prefer puffy cheeks and cute little whiskers, come check out all of our pocket pets, such as hamsters, gerbils, mice, and rats. It's here at Animal City. We have a great small animal selection downstairs and all of the supplies to keep them healthy and happy. This is Amanda from Animal City. We are so proud to be Murfreesboro's pet destination for 35 years. Animal City, 919 Northwest Broad Street, family owned and operated.
We'll see sunny skies here this afternoon, a high in the mid-70s. Tonight, mostly clear, low near 44. By Thursday, sunny, high of 71. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki from the WGNS Rutherford Weather Center. Currently, it's 53.
I can radio that's kind of possessed.
It's Coast to Coast AM overnight every night.
You have a possessed radio?
Yeah.
WGNS, Murfreesboro.
Hey, welcome back. We're talking law and order this morning, and here we are in fall. It feels like fall. Temperature is rising, not a whole lot, but a little bit. We're 57 degrees right now, 57. Our phone number, if you want to join us, 615-893-1450. You get that? Text us, 615-893-1450. From the Murfreesboro Police Department, Chief Michael Bowen is with us this morning, along with Captain Clayton Williams, 615-893-1450. And here's a question dealing with a precinct. They say conversation looks like it's going back to having a precinct again. In fact, one of the fire stations has talked about locating you there, which would be next to a new park. I guess they're talking about Veterans Park.
Yes, sir.
So are we looking at precincts again? Or did we ever quit looking at precincts?
Yeah, so I can give you some boring history on this real quick. So back in 2008, there were plans to design, we did design a precinct. And that actual location, believe it or not, was out where the Blackman School Complex is, where the fire station is now currently located. In hindsight, I'm kind of glad fire stations, and I'm not comparing to fire stations because they have to be in specific areas for their ratings, things like that. But that probably, looking at how the city's grown and taken off, that probably wouldn't have been a good place to put it. Fortunately, we're able to revisit that conversation, and I think that we are looking at that property out there at Veterans Park. Now, it still has to go through council. It still has a lot of discussion to be had as far as what direction we go and how soon we can start something like that. But I know that it's back in the discussion phase. There again, we started talking about this around 2008. From what I recall, we developed plans drawn up for the actual precinct. The economy tanked, then MMC became available, which is where we're at now, and then the discussion became, hey, do you want to focus on the headquarters building right now, or do you want to look at the precinct? And naturally, the way we were spread out across the city, we were like, naturally, we need to focus on the headquarters building. We built that, and now we're revisiting the precinct discussion. And when you get out and drive around and you just go from one end of the city to the other, it would be great for us to be present on that other side of the interstate and a lot further out than we had originally planned back in 2008. I think it gives individuals that need to go by the police department the ability to do so without having to drive in traffic. And at the end of the day, if I've got officers out on the perimeter on that far west side and they become involved in an arrest situation, had to collect evidence, had to come by the police department, in the busiest times of the day, technically you could pull that officer off the road for at least an hour just getting here, doing what they had to do, and getting back into their district. And I think we have to be able to manage that better. So it's back in the discussion phase. I know it's one of the things that I've had recent conversations with city administration about. I think it was brought up in the council retreat, and even if we started discussing it today and started planning on it today, you're looking at FY30 or beyond before a project like that even takes place. So it's still years out.
A long way away.
Yes, sir.
The next question from a listener includes partially a precinct, but it does it from a different angle. This is from a listener who's concerned with the traffic around the square in downtown Murfreesboro. They say that people, no matter whether they're pedestrians or motorists, are not watching what they are doing. The pedestrians are just walking leisurely out across the roadway, the walkways, without looking to see if there are any cars coming. They say at the same time, kids are on skateboards up there, and the cars are not yielding at going at 15 miles per hour. They say that they are going way above that, it appears, and they are texting and doing things, and so nobody's watching anybody. Is there some way to get that under control, and would it be possible? And I'm not sure exactly what they're referring to. They're saying to have some kind of a visible police department presence on the square. And by visible, they're saying physically visible. And I'm wondering if they're talking about, like you see in New York City on Times Square, you'll have a little neon light with a storefront and it says police department or something like that. Are they looking at having just a sign up there saying police department or precinct or whatever?
No, nothing like that is in the plans. Wow, we can go pretty broad with this particular topic. So a lot of discussions about precincts and locating offices and things like that have been centered around the square. I think that when you look at Highland Avenue, you look at we have officers in City Hall. We just don't want to focus too much in that area. Now, with that being said, about a year ago, or maybe less than a year ago, we revitalized what we called the downtown district. And basically, that's an old zone that we used to run back years ago. And with a lot of the concerns about homelessness and some of the other issues going around the square, we reopened that zone. So there is a constant presence up there right now with officers. So we've encouraged them to get up around foot and to really patrol that area. And we've expanded that coverage to where it should be throughout the day. So there are people up there working. I know they're up there working. I know they're walking around because I've had shop owners and businesses tell me, hey, we really appreciate the police presence up there. So I know they're doing that. Now, when you look at they're up there for certain reasons, and then when you look at the traffic issues, the pedestrian, the speeding, that's a whole different set of issues. And I know that we take place or we participate in a pedestrian grant, and I know that we have looked at historical data and assigned people, enforcement officers, to go out and work under that pedestrian grant in areas where we've had incidents of pedestrians being struck. Now, to the caller's point, I don't know why we can't look at that grant next time it comes around and put some resources on the square and to identify some of those issues that the caller brought up and say, hey, let's take some of our staffing from that grant and put them in the square and just see if you can identify some issues involving pedestrians. So that's something we'll gladly do. And I was driving through a parking lot last night on my way home, and guy comes out the store on the phone looking down the entire time, never looks up, and I'm like, oh, people, put these phones down when you're going to and from your vehicles, when you're walking across roadways, when you're walking through parking lots, because those distractions can get you hurt, and that's unfortunate.
Do you think that is one of the causes, or maybe the dominant cause? Has there been any study on the increased number of pedestrians that we see who are hit here in Murfreesboro?
Yeah, and Larry had a chart for me, and I
and Larry's not here.
Yeah, and we showed it, and I was going to bring it up last time, and I need to revisit that. That's actually something I can post on our website that shows the trends in pedestrian accidents, and I don't think that the rate per our population has really dramatically changed, but that's something I'll be glad to put on our website. And Larry gave it to me a couple months ago, said, hey, be sure to take this, and I did. Nobody asked about it, so I didn't bring it today.
That's weird. So are you saying that it's not so much because of pedestrians watching their phones. It's just an increase in traffic because the population's up.
No. There's just so many different factors. It's hard to just say that the common theme in all these accidents is this one item. There's pedestrian accidents can get complex, and sometimes there's just different factors that affect each one. So to kind of put a broad paintbrush on all of them wouldn't be right.
Okay, this is another question dealing with the downtown renovations, and this is with the daylighting of the town creek. Is that creating some issues? People are saying we're having a hard time getting around, especially to offices inside the area that's being changed, I guess is what would be the word.
I know sometimes when they're, especially if they're dealing with rock or whatnot, they'll have some temporary closures, and yes, a lot of times, especially that one that fronts, Front
There's
Street.
There's only one way in.
Yeah, unless you go around. Yeah, you'll have to go, you may have to enter in off of West Castle instead of trying to come down front, depending on what's going on there. But a lot of times that's something you'd see that posted on that update. I haven't seen anything come across Facebook or anything about any of those closures, but I think they're keeping that open. It's just there may be some temporary going on while they're doing some specific work.
Yeah. Now, if you're talking about fronts,
the other side over there,
the front street specifically, I know that's fixing to be changed to where it's only right turns only. And I don't know if you remember, Bart, a while back, one of your callers had expressed concerns on that, and the city evaluated that. So that is going to turn into a right turn as you come off Front Street. You'll only be able to turn right to head southeast or right to turn northwest.
Will there be a traffic signal? Because you're aligning Front Street and Vine Street, is that right?
So what you'll do is, I think, just the way they'll probably put some things in the roadway that directs traffic one way or the other, whether it be a concrete island, something like that, something will be done to direct those traffic, like I said, to where it's not, where they're not all crossing in the middle of that intersection there.
There may be a red light coming down the road, but there's nothing right now
that'll
be immediate for a traffic signal.
Right.
Okay. 615-893-1450. That is our number. We will continue the conversation in just a moment. If you have any more questions, text them to us, 615-893-1450. We're moving into the final stage of our broadcast, so if you have a question, don't wait around or the show will be over.
All Sports Talk, weekdays at 5. Rutherford County's place to talk.
This is Peter Demas, and our family is inviting your family to come eat with us at Demas's restaurant. We're trying to give them a place where they can eat with their family that's not fast food. We want to create an atmosphere where we can sit down and just have a good old-fashioned family dinner. But unfortunately now, most people can't do it at home. So, you know, two people are working, the kids' activities. And so what we're doing is we provide that, and we make it affordable. Come eat with us at Demas's Restaurant on Northwest Broad Street.
This message brought to you by the Central Tennessee Regional Solid Waste Planning Board. Visit RecycleRightTN.com for tips, ideas, and locations on where to recycle near you.
Don't be trashy, recycle classy, recycle right, Tennessee.
Recycling isn't just about tossing materials in a bin, it's about knowing which materials are accepted. Go to RecycleRightTN.com.
Recycle right, Tennessee.
We'll see sunny skies here this afternoon, a high in the mid-70s. Tonight, mostly clear, low near 44. By Thursday, sunny high of 71. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki from the WGNS Rutherford Weather Center. Currently, it's 53.
Looking for a lift kit for your truck or Jeep and need the right experts to install it? Look no further than Tire World. In Murfreesboro, Smyrna, and Laverne.
Tire World, we keep your family rolling.
There is an underground civilization underneath of the North American continent.
It's Coast to Coast AM, overnight, every night on WGNS, Murfreesboro.
Welcome back. Want to say happy birthday to Leanna Lane Jackson. Leanna Lane Jackson is our Slick Pig Barbecue delicious banana pudding winner today, Leanna Lane Jackson. Happy birthday to you. Our good neighbor today is, Kimberly Snow. Kimberly Snow, who is a teacher at Barfield Elementary, inspiring students both past and present. Kimberly Snow will receive flowers from everybody over there, Jenny Harrison, the whole family, at Ryan Flowers Coffee and Gifts, 117 South Academy Street. Kimberly, congratulations. So proud of you and all that you do for the community. Kimberly Snow, our special good neighbor of the day today. And she'll be receiving flowers from Ryan's Flowers Coffee and Gifts. You can perk somebody up, too, by sending them flowers or coffee or gifts from Ryan Flowers Coffee and Gifts. A big hello and salute to you from SRM Concrete. They're out there helping every day, making this a better community. We're focusing on the city of Murfreesboro this morning, focusing on law and order. Some exciting things happening, especially at the Real-Time Crime Center. You're hearing about it. Murfreesboro Police Chief Michael Bowen with us, along with Captain Clayton Williams. We're moving into the holiday season, not too far from Thanksgiving. It's just around the corner. Hard to believe, but it is. And that brings some special attention to keep this a safe place. What are you doing to sort of beef up the security for businesses, for motorists, for people who are shopping, walking to their cars with gifts and things of that sort? What can you do to help in that area?
Yeah, so we will increase patrols in those areas as we typically do, because those some of those business districts get really, really busy. So we'll make sure that we increase our presence in those areas. I always encourage people, if you're shopping, if you can do it with a friend, do it with somebody. Make sure that you don't make yourself a easy target. Make sure you're doing things like not leaving items visible in your vehicle to where somebody can walk by, see it, and say, hey, I'm going to take advantage of this situation, break out a window and take it. Your purse, whatever items of value you have, just make sure that you pay attention to those items when you're shopping. If you've got a shopping cart, don't place it up in that little area where the kids ride and turn your back on it, or just really just be aware of your surroundings. So those are some of those are very basic recommendations, but sometimes those just heeding those type of warnings and being focused on those type things can really reduce your chances of being a victim of crime. And like I said, I always encourage people, if you've got somebody you can go with when you're out shopping, especially into the nighttime hours, to do so.
Here's an interesting question from a listener, and I'm not sure exactly how to address this. So this one says, I'm concerned because it's me that we're talking about. My boss sends me out occasionally to get some change at the bank, and I walk over to the bank. We're in a downtown business, and I walk back with a little deposit, little package, a little sack, which has the bank's name on it. And I feel like I'm sort of obvious that this may be money, or it may just be some old paper that I just made a deposit with. But I'm always concerned that I'm a target. Should I feel this way, or what should I do?
Well, if you're carrying something like a bank bag, something like that, if there's some way to conceal it to where it's less obvious, that would be the first recommendation. And then the time of day, you know, that you're doing this could play a role in it. But like I said, just the way you just described it to me, Bart, sounds like that bag might be visible, and I don't know that. Well, that's not a good idea. To be walking with a bag like that. So there's some way to conceal that and make it less obvious, definitely.
Throw it in a satchel, and then if you can, some kind of bag in it outside of that. And then also, if you could vary your time a little bit, don't do it the same time every day, and don't go exact same. Yeah, and, you know, if they can vary that responsibility up too, that way it just doesn't become so routine that it's easy to say, what's going on there?
Because when you say bank bag, I visualize different things. The larger bank bags, I picture the small envelope type that you can just roll up.
I think it's one of those rectangular bags that's colorful, but it says the bank on it usually.
Yeah.
And there again, have somebody with you, all those things.
Yeah, if you can take somebody else with you, that's even better. But, I agree. I think the easiest thing is throw that inside something else instead of just carrying that in your hand.
Yeah, that sounds so logical there.
Yeah. And it might seem like a waste of gas if you can hop in your car and drive through the drive-through. That might do it.
If they're down on the square and the bank's on the square or somewhere close by.
I don't know the relation of the business to the bank. So, I don't know how far they're walking. So,
yeah.
We have time for probably one more question this morning, and this one deals again with traffic. This person says that it's just horrendous no matter whether you're going in town or out of town. In the morning hours, traffic is bad in both directions. I can't figure for the life of me where people are going out of town, but there are about as many of those going out as there are coming in. But whatever it is, it takes me about twice as long to get to work as it used to.
Yeah.
Is that going to change? Can it change?
I wouldn't count on
it. Don't hold your breath.
Yeah. I notice it during the summertime, especially when school lets out, MTSU's out. The amount of driving time just from my neighborhood to work is reduced dramatically just when school's out of session. So, long-term, I doubt that there's a growing city. I don't see how it's going to be immediately relieved. I know that when we look at some of the road projects that are projected out for the next several years, there appears to be we talk about Cherry Lane, 231 North, some of those areas where they're looking at changing the roadways to accommodate more traffic. Hopefully that will give us some long-term relief, but that remains to be seen.
Yeah. And that's way down the road.
Exactly.
Yeah. I think you had some folks on the show the other day, Greg McKnight and Aaron Tucker, and you guys were talking about some of those, and I was listening. Yeah, there. It's amazing how long the planning phase and the especially those state routes that
they don't happen quickly.
I know we're fixing to run out of time. He's got his piece of paper up there like he's fixing to shut us down. Just know the downtown, it kind of goes in hand with the pedestrian, the traffic, the speeding, the individual walking to the bank. Just know that in that area, I have four regularly assigned officers. I have a shift that assigns officers. So in that downtown district where we have Southeast Broad, you border it to the right on Academy, to the west on Front, to the north on Lytle, in that area we have four regularly assigned officers. The shifts provide coverage. Plus you have the homeless outreach support team that works in those areas as well. So there's a pretty good density of officers in that area working in that downtown district.
And on that note, we want to say a special thank you to Murfreesboro Police Chief Michael Bowen and Captain Clayton Williams for bringing us up to speed on what's happening here in the city of Murfreesboro. Thanks for joining us. Hey, have a super rest of the day. Stay with us right here at your good neighbor station, WGNS Murfreesboro.
Join me, Speedy, Adler, and Greg for The Rick Burgess Show on WGNS.
The Rick Burgess Show, weekdays 11 to 2 on News Radio WGNS.
Hey, this is Taylor with Bell Jewelers inviting you to our exclusive one-day-only estate jewelry event. It's going to be on Thursday, November 13th from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. And I can't stress enough that it is one day only. One day only estate jewelry event. Thursday, November 13th from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. It's at Bell Jewelers at 821 Northwest Broad Street across from Toots.